Well, whether you wanted it or not, here it is. Oh, our God is good. His blessings eternal. His loving kindness unfailing. I love it when a plan comes together. Did it? Have you gotten your bulletin today? You got one? Let me show you a feature of this. If you do this, it'll tell you what's going on. Work goes into creating that so that you have at your disposal an update, so in the middle of the week when you want to remember what you should have done or what you should be preparing for, you can just whip it open and there it be. I want to talk to you for a moment about forming your world with your words. I am always blessed to watch the way God puts things together. I did not know that Diane's praise report was coming. I didn't even know what the report was about until I read it to you this morning. But because she laid hold of promises, because she believed the man of God and went and made her list, and then they began to decree, this is ours, it's coming back to us, it was stolen from us. Well, Pastor, it was stolen. God has the best recovery service in the world. God has the best recovery service in the world. Now, since I have lost so much weight, I used to wear a lot of jewelry. Now I have to put pinky rings on my ring finger because the rings, the stuff that I had, I can't wear at the present because they look like bracelets on my fingers. But that's okay. I'm coming back. Amen. I don't wear as much jewelry as I used to. But I remember I'd had a ring made and it had a series of diamonds in it, and one Sunday we were at lunch and Lou said, there's a diamond missing. I went, what? And I looked down and there was a diamond missing from my ring. Well, I could go to Midas and have Charles put another stone that he could find that would match it and put it back together, but that was my stone. So we prayed about, where's my stone? We went back and looked down, and there was Lang. And we got to put it back in, and everything is fine. Because God knows where every stone you lost is. God knows where everything that has been stolen from you is and how to get it back into your present. The blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow. I have no apologies about enjoying life. I enjoy health. I enjoy wealth. I enjoy blessings. I like good things. But I also have learned to be content. A dealer was offering a special deal on a beautiful Rolls Royce, and I thought, I've got that much money in my checking account. I could just go buy that. And then I thought again, and I said, that looked like a ruby ring on a toad frog. I mean, I'm better off with a truck. But to know that God has blessed you where that you can live there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I said, to know that God has blessed you where you can live there. The blessings of the Lord that make rich and add no sorrow. Our God does great things. Yes. He does marvelous things. He does mighty things. His word works. Yes. For those who work His word by works. Well, Pastor, what kind of works do I have to do? The hardest work in the world. Believing that His word is true and accepting it as your reality. I've been working on the prayer manual again, and some of the ministers of the body are going to be joining me in producing a manual for the Kingdom Life Training Center that deals with prayer, because most people in most churches never pray. They just present to God their needs list when they think about it. And prayer is not an integral part of their lives. For people who have prayer as an integral part of their lives, they experience less defeat than those who don't. You see, a lot of people think prayer is that first aid kit you reach for when disaster has already happened. No, prayer is that thing that keeps disaster from happening. But my Bible says, when I pray, believe right then that I have what I prayed about, and it will come to me. In other words, prayer is when I take ownership of what belongs to me. Father, I thank you that you supply all of my need, and right now I decree that all of my needs are met, and I accept my bills being paid. But Pastor, I don't have a job. Oh, shut up, fool. God never said he'll supply your need according to your job. He did say work. But you see, you can live beyond your job. I've always lived better than where I worked. And people go, how? Because I don't expect a paycheck to get me by. My God supplies all of my needs. He has strengthened my hand to gain wealth, not to work. But I work because if I don't work, I don't eat. But I'm not limited to what I can accomplish with my work. I'm only limited to what I can take ownership of when I believe. One more time. Thank you, Sister Gail, for that agreement. I'm only limited to what I take ownership of when I believe. Yes. So when you pray, believe that you receive. And then from that moment forward, John, we say, thank you, Lord. Yes. I just want to thank you, God, that I'm debt free. I want to thank you that I'm the healed of the Lord. I want to thank you that I can do all things through the anointing which infused me with divine ability. I thank you, Father, that I'm up to and capable for any and all situations in life. Church, I appreciate it if you pay attention. Some people do. I was talking in a message and I talked about the fact that if you're buying a vehicle or something like that, getting a loan, you need to be part of a credit union. Brother Bob listened and he wanted a new Harley and he said, what to do? I said, well, go to United Heritage, talk to Teresa. He went, and I said, sure, we'll do that for you. And he said, well, I bought a truck, and I'm paying this kind of interest. I said, we can cut that, what, in half? We can cut that in half. Well, when Bob called me, it blessed me that someone was listening. Then Rosie called and said, what was that place again? She bought a new truck, and she wanted to cut her interest in half. Just a simple thing like that can change thousands of dollars in your life. Well, I've got a relationship with my bank and I'm just going to keep paying 14%. I pay 1.79. Wiley went into that, well, Pastor, why do you borrow money at all? Why should I use my money if theirs is that cheap? Keep my money for something important. Forming your world with your words. You're doing it every day. I can't get ahead. They don't pay enough. There's always more month than there is payday. Oh, I feel it coming on again. I heard people talking this week and they were worried about some South American mosquito that's biting people and giving them, I can't even remember what the...
Zika.
I'm more concerned about a Brazilian wasp that they found that its venom, when applied to cancer cells, kills cancer and doesn't affect the rest of the body.
All right.
There's a Brazilian wasp that its sting, the poison, so they're capturing this wasp, breeding them, milking them, and injecting their poison that they bite you with from this wasp right into the cancer, and it kills it. The AMA doesn't like it. Big Pharma in America is trying to stop it. But in every patient they've tried it on, it worked. The poison goes right to the cancer cells and doesn't affect any of the cells around it. You see, why should I worry about a Zika mosquito when I can give praise that there's a Brazilian wasp that'll cure cancer? Church, don't look for the bad news, look for the good news. Bad news is hunting for you. You have to look sometimes for the good news, but it's out there. Well, Pastor, you know, the everybody said that with Trump being elected, the stock market would crash and things would go in the toilet. Wise people, as soon as he was elected, bought stock because nearly all of them went up. And a lot of people made their year's salary just on the announcement that he was president. Why? While other people were selling, they were buying, and now they're sitting in the catbird seat. For every cloud, there's a silver lining. If you're looking at the lining, you don't see the cloud. If you're looking at the cloud, you don't see the lining. Well, Pastor, there's a downturn in the economy. Is there? Or is there an opportunity for you?
Amen. Praise God. Amen.
New American Standard says, "Now those who feared the Lord spoke one to another." Those who feared the Lord had reverential. They weren't fearing the Lord like, "Oh dear God, he's going to get me." No, they feared the Lord like, "I don't want to do anything that would put me on the wrong side of God. Because I know if I'm on the right side of God, everything is wonderful." Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. And the Lord gave attention and heard it. Yeah, God's listening when you talk to Myrtle Fay. And a book of remembrance was written before him. When you are talking of God's goodness, God's grace, God's mercy, God's supply, Ruth, there's a book of remembrance and God is writing down, "Ruth said this about me." I don't know about you, but I want to be in the book of remembrance. Sister Willie, I want to have my name in there lots of times. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. Is he God or is he Jehovah, Lord of hosts, God of all creation, the God who makes the impossible possible, the God who does all things well, the God who blesses you, prospers you, keeps you, heals you, restores you, and leads you in the path you should go. The ear of the Lord is toward the earth to make record of those who speak of his goodness. Did you know that's in your Bible? A mind stayed upon the Lord will allow the spirit of the man whose mind is set upon the Lord to be renewed to truth. The more I think about God's goodness, the more I think about his promises, the more I lay hold of them. Now, whether you grab a book like this out of the bookstore, God's Promises for Men, there's a leather-bound God's Promises, or whether you take the time yourself to just open your Bible and start recording all the promises, You need to lay hold of each one of them. Father, you said right here, it is the Lord that strengthens my hand to gain wealth. I think my hand is strengthened to gain wealth. You said here that you would lead me in a way of prosperity. You said wealth and riches are in my house. Therefore, I know I have a house to keep my riches and wealth in.
Amen.
There's a garbage doctrine about God wants you poor. There's a whole lot of priests going to get to heaven and go, I could have. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, the King James Version says, let this mind be in you, which was also in the anointed Redeemer. Your King James there said Jesus Christ, but you know when it says Jesus Christ, that's the anointed Redeemer. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, or as the New American Standard says, have this attitude. Let this mind be in you. Have this attitude. What was his attitude? Nothing is impossible for them that believe. I can do all things through the anointing that infused me. But he was Jesus. No, he was Yeshua. And he did nothing on his own ability, power, or strength. He did everything by the power of the Holy Spirit to teach you, you can do it too. I want to ask you a question. Is your physical being knit to your mind or to your spirit? Does your mind tell your body what it is, what it can do, what it can have, where it can go, what it can be? Or does your spirit dictate, according to the Word of God, who you are? There's a picture that you have found, at least I've seen it, in times they would find someone in the desert or in the wilderness, and they were so weak they couldn't even talk. So they would give them a little water and start getting nourishment into them. Get food into them that strengthened them. And when they got that food into them, their strength returned to talk. That's your physical man. Your spiritual man is the same way. Some of us have a spiritual man who can't talk because he's so emaciated from being starved of the truth, that there's not enough word in them to keep them alive. I learned a lesson while in the hospital that Brother Brian and Brother Damon talked to me about. Many of the men of the body would come and sit by my bedside while I was in a coma and read the word to me. And I had one and then the other, I don't remember whether it was Brian or David first tell me, that they'd be sitting there and say, they'd speak to me and say, rise up, man of God. And they said I would try and sit up. I'm in a coma. But when they were speaking to my spirit responded enough to cause my body to try and rise up in a coma. Well, Pastor, if you're in a coma, you don't know what's going on. My spirit did. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Yes, Pastor, I read the word. I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't date girls who do. That's not what it's talking about. You see, according to the word of God, God doesn't care if you have a drink. Now, understand, I don't touch alcohol in any way, form, or fashion. That's my personal decision. That's not my Christian belief. I don't listen to the church, lady. You sinners. If you want to have a glass of wine with your pizza, go for it. Just don't have a bottle of wine with your half a pizza. But don't get mad at me because I've decided I don't want it in any way, form, or fashion. But I know of Bible study groups that they meet around an ice chest and have a beer while they're studying their Bible. That ain't where I'm at. But if that beer is bigger than your God, better empty the ice chest. That may be the only spirit you'll be in. My Bible said that if you want to bless someone, take them to an inner chamber and give them strong drink. My Bible says that some people take a little wine for the stomach's sake. What are you saying, Pastor Jim? Sometimes we are so critical on sin that we don't have time to study faith. You can't smoke enough cigarettes to send you to hell, but you can smoke enough to send you to heaven early. You're better off without it. When I was born again, I was smoking 3 packs a day, and I didn't want to be delivered. I loved it. I was in a church service, and the minister said, "End of the line." I don't need to be in the healing line. I got in because the preacher said, "Get in the healing line." So when they got to me, he stopped and laid hands on me and rebuked the spirit of nicotine, and I never had a taste for a cigarette from that day again. Throw them away. Same thing with alcohol. God delivered me because I love the taste of alcohol. Until one day somebody said something, and I was trying to remember the last meal I'd eaten. I'd been living on vodka Collins, and I just wasn't even eating. I said, "Nope." And I walked away and never went back. Because my temperament, if I'm going to have a glass of vodka, can I get it by the gallon? So I just don't go there. If I don't go there, I don't have to worry about getting back. It's not about sin. It's about control. You can be so sin conscious that you can't walk before God. Because when you start judging other people and a shucky darn slips out of your mouth, then the same jury inside you that has been convicting others jumps on you. Hide his word in your heart so you don't sin against him. Well, Pastor, what does that mean? I've hidden his word in my heart so I don't neglect the fact that he's my healer. When sickness tries to knock or come, I decree what's in me. I've hidden his word in my heart. I'm the healed of the Lord. With his stripes I was made whole. Himself bore my infirmities on the tree. I hide his word. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But Pastor, nobody likes me. Well, that's because you're listening to this and not your spirit man. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee by being broke. It's wrong for a believer to be broke. You're misrepresenting God. It's wrong for a believer to accept a physical condition and not stand against it. I didn't say it's wrong to be sick because it's going to come. If you have breath, it's going to come. But is your physical man connected to your mind that says, "Well, this is what I get for not eating right"? No, it's connected to my spirit that says, "This is a lie trespassing on blood-bought property. Sickness, you got to go because I am the redeemed of the Lord. He's already paid the price for my healing. He's paid the price for my sin. He's paid the price for my guilt. He's paid the price for my sorrow, for my grief. Yes. You can't keep me down because His Word keeps me up. Yes. And even in a coma, my spirit man responds to it as written. My mind was out of it. My mind was in nowhere zone. But my spirit was hearing everything that was going on around me. That's why I tell people that you're going through a struggle, get the Bible, the New Testament on tape or on CD and turn it on when you go to sleep. And just let it minister. You can get devices now that'll just go back and replay it again and again. I have found that I can master passages and portions of Scripture that I didn't know. Put the speaker under my pillow, turn on the book of Romans, go to sleep. And while I'm sleeping, the Word is coming in. The Word is coming in. Well, what good does that do? It's feeding right into my spirit man. Then when I'm awake and I start reading it, my spirit man has already been working on it. And I go, whoa, I see it. There it is. They have the Word on CDs that you can stick in your car now. I know you'd rather listen to, you know, well, I won't say who you'd rather listen to because you might want Poor Boy and Fish, or you might want Willie Nelson, or I don't know who. But I can tell you this, you can't listen to enough Willie Nelson to get healed. You can't listen to enough Aretha to get rich. But listening to the Word can turn your world around because you begin to meditate upon the Word day and night. And it infuses you with ability. His Word strengthens my life. Because I made a decision that my physical man is connected to my spirit, not my mind. My mind has input, it brings stuff, but it's what's in my spirit that tells me whether I'm healed or not, whether I'm blessed or not, whether I'm strong or not, whether I can keep going or not, whether I can accomplish it or not, whether I can go back and lay hold of what was stolen from me or not. Mine says, that don't make any sense. You left the company, you quit 6 months short. They told you don't have any money. You don't have any money. But your spirit will tell you, all things are possible for them that believe. Oh, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, you do without while Diane's cashing her retirement checks. Well, Pastor, I don't believe in that tithing stuff. Well, you keep driving your old jalopy while Brother and Sister Arthur are driving their new Escalade, making plans for their new house. But they retired, yeah. But they have learned that their God will supply more for them in retirement than they made working for a living. Because they're a giver, they're a tither, they're faithful. I'll never be broke because I have a covenant. So it doesn't matter what the economy does, I won't be broke. Because my mind cannot convince my spirit that I am lacking. I've fed more word into my spirit than questions into my mind. I said I fed more word into my spirit than questions into my mind. So whether waking up or going to sleep, the Word is ever present. If you fall asleep with the Word, you'll wake up with a victory. Psalms 119:11, I just said to you, Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. The New American Standard says, your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I treasure your word, not about whether I smoke or drink or run around or what. No. The word I treasure is the word that tells me who I am, what I can have, what I can do, where I can go, what I can be. Proverbs 23:7, the Amplified says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. How do you see yourself in your spirit? Do you have enough word in you that you can talk, you can hear, you can respond? Or is your spirit man so emaciated, you'd have to go on a 3-day binge in the word just to have enough in you to hear your spirit man talk? There is a still small voice in every born-again child of God. It's called your recreated human spirit. The more word you feed into it, the louder the volume grows on what it has to say. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. Your words are forming your world. Sometimes it's just, Brother James casts off words. Oh, I could never do that. But your mind hears that. Your spirit hears that. It affects you in the future because according to your words, so you are. Now, don't go the other way. Brother Ken, some people form the word police. Now, you can't say that. Hey, yeah, you can. It's your choice. But do you recognize what seed you just planted? Because your words are seeds, and they will grow, and they will come back to haunt you. The prophet said, I'm ensnared by the words of my mouth. I said I would do it, therefore I have to do it. Because I've spoken it, those words are released. Now I have to live up to the words I spoke. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, my Lord, my rock, my salvation. Is that your cry? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing before you. Are you thinking about what God said is possible for you? Are you thinking about what God said you could do? Or are you thinking about what the news told you? I tell you, if your life is ran by the 6 o'clock prognosticators of gloom and despair, you're in a heap of trouble. They don't know what they're talking about. They're guessing at best. They're not reporting the news. They're trying to shape it. Joshua 1:8. Meditate the word of God day and night, allowing it to become your life guide or a map for your success. And if you'll do according to all that is written, you cause your way to be prosperous, and you cause yourself to have great success. You notice it says, you do? Because you're releasing, Brother Damon, those words that say, I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me. You're releasing those words, as let's say, I'm more than capable of and up to any situation in life. Amen. You can paint any kind of future you want to. But if you say it enough, you will conform to what you're saying. So Napoleon and I watch what I say. Now, that doesn't mean I never say anything I shouldn't. You catch me on a raw moment and I might say something I shouldn't, and you'll regret it. I'll plant a seed that grows fast. We're human to a degree. But the more we determine to be led by the Spirit and by the words we're confessing, we start painting a world. Become an artist. I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm blessed coming in, going out. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. Everything I set my hand to prospers. Because that's the painting you're going to live in, what you're saying today. Well, Pastor, I want to give them a piece of my mind. You'd be better off giving them a piece of your spirit, because then you can both profit from it. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and being in right standing with Him, then all of the other things that you want will be added to you." If I'm over here building the kingdom up, and I start building the kingdom with this, "The earth and the fullness thereof are the Lord's." Most Christians will readily tell you, "The devil's the god of this world." Where'd you get that? Misquoting a passage of Scripture? He's not the god of this world. He is the god of this age. I'm not of this age, I'm of the age to come. I'm not of the world, even as He was not of the world. I may be in the world, but the world doesn't determine my health. The world doesn't determine my wealth. The world doesn't determine where I go and what I do. And God is concerned about the smallest thing in your life. Daddy, God wants you to have the best, wear the best, drive the best, live in the best, do the best, and enjoy the best. What do you think He created for drug dealers and whoremongers? "The earth and the fullness thereof are the Lord's. Therefore, every good thing comes down from the Lord." The devil didn't invent Cadillacs. He don't want you traveling around in air-conditioned style. Every good and perfect thing came from God. Well, Pastor, I don't believe that. Then go to a country where God is not, and see the starvation, the hurt. I'm tired of us taking our money and sending it to people who worship the devil. I think the first thing we should do is establish a radio station, a TV station in every nation, delivering the truth so they can have it themselves. There's not a place in the world that God can't prosper you. There's not a country, there's not an island, there's not a desolate place that God can't cause you to prosper. There's people starving in areas that are the richest in minerals and resources in the world. And people that are starving, why? They still worship the devil. Through one false religion or another. Because if you're not worshiping the God of all creation through the anointed Redeemer, Yeshua, you're in a heap of trouble. America is great not because of a bunch of white men in white wigs who started a constitution. It was because the very first thing they did was pray. The second thing they did was dedicate this country to God. And God hasn't forgotten. And when the devil attacked this country, he attacked right on the spot where America was dedicated to God. Well, no, they attacked the Twin Towers, yes. But at the bottom of the towers is a church. And at that church, our president, our first president, gathered the people together and they dedicated, "We're starting a nation. We're dedicating it to God." And that's the very spot out of all the landscape of the U.S. They chose that one spot to attack. Why? They're trying to get at our root. And our root is, if God be praised, the nation can be raised.
Amen.
What are you praising God for? Do you find the promises of God and start speaking into your life? And Tara, we say, God, I just want to thank you that daily you load me with blessings. It's right here in your word. You said daily he loadeth us with blessings. So today I'm expecting blessings to overtake me. It doesn't say that I get the blessings I work for. It says daily you load me with blessings. I want to walk around loaded. God, you said right here that you would lead me in a path of righteousness for your name's sake. I thank you that I'm your sheep, I hear your voice, and you're leading me in a path that brings your light of kingdom truth alive in me so people can see your kingdom. You see, when I seek health, I'm seeking kingdom. When I seek wealth, I'm seeking kingdom. When I seek joy, peace, when I seek God's provision, I'm seeking kingdom. Seeking the kingdom doesn't mean, well, I'm looking for a church. No, I'm looking for everything the King said belongs to me. And I'm going to possess it. And when people ask me, Derek, I'm going to say, my God supplies all of my need. I'm the blessed of the Lord. I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me. In a few days, I'll turn 70 years of age. I've been through hell and back several times. I should have been killed a lot of times. Brother Bob and I was talking about motorcycles this morning. I was crashed 16 times on motorcycles. I mean, I've been hit broadside by a Lincoln on my motorcycle with a sack of groceries between my legs and skid half a block down the street on my back. And I'm still here. I've been hit by a truck and I've got a place in my arm where the bone went through. I'm still here. I fall asleep in a 57 Chevy convertible and hit a parked gas truck at 70 miles an hour or thereabouts. And I'm still here. I've been struck down by heart attacks, strokes, paralysis, comas. I'm just like a Timex. I take a licking and I keep ticking. Because my God, there's nothing special about me, but there's something that dwells in me, His Word. And Judith, that Word rises up and it comes out of me. And it builds a world around me. My house is a place of peace. You can walk in the door of my house and go, it's so peaceful here. Yeah. Do you walk through your house and read the 91st Psalm? Do you celebrate your house as a place where God dwells? Or do you look out the window and talk ugly about the neighbors? Never mind. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you're full of is going to come out. Excuse me, my French. No. Oh, that just slipped. No, it's in you so much so that you can't keep it from coming out. But the Word of God can be that way, where when they poke you, it is written, comes out. Change your words and you'll change your world. When His words become your world becomes His kingdom. You're forming your world every day with what you say. Build a beautiful world. Build a glorious world. Build a world that's filled because your mouth is full of the promises of the Lord, not other expletive deleted. There is not a situation in your life that there's not a word from God that will get you out of it. There's not a problem, there's not a care that would beset you that you can't lick with it is written. Julie, when the Word of God dwells in here so rich that it just has to get out. There's something, Suzanne, when I'm around people and they start talking about sickness, something in me is just saying, not my God, not my God. Not, it ain't happening in my house, it ain't happening in my family. We are the blessed of the Lord. My spirit gets grieved just hearing people describe a life that's contrary to what God said. God wants you to have everything He promised in His Word. But Teresa, we have to reach into His Word and lay hold of it. And when you pray, believe that you receive. So I pray, Father, I thank You that I'm the healed of the Lord. And right now I receive my health and I stand in that health. Your Word says that I'm blessed coming in, going out. I hear people say, if it's raining soup, I'd be outside with a fork. No, church. I'd be outside with a funnel. Because my God would say, pack your funnel. It's going to rain soup today. Paint the world you want to live in. Napoleon, make the colors bright and cheerful and wonderful. Don't sing, would it be wonderful, decree, I am blessed. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, I am blessed. 1 Peter 2:24 says, I am healed. I'm healed. Philippians 4:19 says, my God supplies all of my need. My need is met. Philippians 4:13 says, all things are possible when I'll apply the anointing to that challenge. I pastor the wealthiest group of people and the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. No weapon formed against the people of House of the Lord Fellowship Church will prosper, not mentally, not spiritually, not physically, not financially. Everything you set your hand to prospers. God continually leads you in triumph. The blessings of the Lord are upon you. He has anointed you for success. And doggone it, you're going there if I have to drag you with my words. I want you so blessed that people look at you and go, how? And you go, it is written. This new covenant contains promises that equip me to live a life above what's possible in the physical realm. Is your physical man knit to your spirit or to your mind? When your spirit is full of the Word and it's knit to it, there's nothing that can keep you down. I decree that you are the blessed of the Lord. God's hand is upon you. Everything you set your hand to prospers. No lie nor trick nor scheme of darkness shall in any way take from what belongs to you. For you rise in the power of it is written, and you stand in the hope of His promises, and your faith causes you to possess every good and perfect thing. Amen? Amen. You're loved, you're blessed. Go with God.